Hilliard Lyons is proud to become a part of Baird, a trusted financial services firm that shares our commitment to the community. I'm Jeff Main, branch manager with Hilliard Lyons. You can learn more about Baird and our new partnership at HilliardToBaird.com.
Hour number two, the Glass in the Afternoon radio program. New Sports Talk 98.7 AM 1370 and WGCLRadio.com. Wherever you may be listening today, we hope your weather is as perfect as ours. 75 and sunshine downtown. Who cares about anything else? What are we doing in here?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Haul out the transmitter. Get me the tin foil. Grab a couple paper clips, and
we'll grab this thing. A parklet for us.
Well, that's it. We don't want to do that though. We'll just go to the roof.
Okay,
that's the safest. Pool or pond? Pond
we have
is definitely
a vaulted roof here though. That's
better.
Not too good.
Better for us. What's happening downtown? It's 75. It is perfect tonight. Down to 55, so not nearly as cold as 35 as we saw overnight Sunday into Monday morning. That was a little too chilly, a reminder, a very stark reminder of what is around the corner. So once the sun goes down, it's going to drop like it usually does. But get out there after school or after work and enjoy it for a couple of hours because it is very nice out. And if you can't play hooky today, Keith has good news for you. 82 on Wednesday, 78 on Thursday, 81 on Friday. So that gives you four chances or choices of days to pick to get out and enjoy it. If you have to be waiting for the weekend, the good news, we're in the 70s. The bad news is there could be some morning showers on Saturday, just a 30% chance, a 50% chance on Sunday. We'll start next week 78, 74 before dropping into the mid-60s. But not bad at all here in October. Your average highs and lows this time of year, Keith, are 70 and 47, and 89 and 30 are the records. So tomorrow we won't be close. We'll be close, but not that close to lighting the lamp. Updated forecast, live radar, you can find it all at WGCLradio.com. And don't forget, tomorrow night right here on WGCL at 9 o'clock, the vice presidential debate from Salt Lake City, Vice President Mike Pence and Democratic challenger Kamala Harris will get together just after 9 p.m. and sort out the issues on the radio and at WGCLradio.com. Now, every Tuesday we're very busy, Keith, and this week is no exception.
We have the mayor of the city of Bloomington, and if you think there's not much to talk about,
well, that's wrong.
You're wrong.
We have plenty to do. Mayor Hamilton, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Nice to be with you again. Hope you guys are both doing well, and all your listeners.
We were down at the splash pad earlier today with this heat wave that has hit town, and we've noticed things are closed up for the season. That's how it's going to be. It's not a, hey, let's turn it back on for a minute. Hey, let's turn it back. That's just how it works, correct?
That's right. We closed the splash pad. It shut down the water part of it since October 1st until spring beckons us all back. Though, you know, the park is still booming. I walked through there over the weekend or late last week, and it was a chilly day. But, man, it was hopping. The people were using the splash pad just to, you know, wander around in, and the skate park was full, and the pickleball courts were full, and the dog park was full, and so please enjoy it, but don't bring your bathing suit. You don't need to do that anymore.
we'll see everybody around Memorial Day next year for the old firing up of the water park. So we'll let that grow. The weather is perfect this week. We're a little cool last week. The other good news that we've seen is we always start with keeping an eye on the coronavirus. And I think everybody around here has to be pleased at the numbers that are dropping from Indiana University. And it seems like the numbers in the community outside of the university, Mayor Hamilton, are slowly but surely heading in the right direction as well. That has to please you moving forward.
Yeah, you know, we've obviously talked about this for a lot, and we're always careful to not jump the gun to anything because anything can change any minute. But if you had told me 6 weeks ago or 8 weeks ago that, you know, when the students arrived, we'd have a bump, which we did, but that we'd then get 3 weeks in a row in September into October of declining percentages and getting to the numbers that we're seeing. I think we all would have been very pleased with that. So tomorrow there'll be another set of numbers coming out from IU. That'll be really important. But the last three Wednesday mornings have been very good overall indicators. And, you know, I mentioned IU because they're doing the 95% of the tests in the area. You know, they're doing the probably more than that, the lion's share of all the testing. So the data that comes out of there that shows, you know, absolutely there was a big burst of infections in the Greek houses and had to crack down on them. There was a significant concern of some off campus, and that's why the county and the city have taken the steps we did. Indiana as a whole, the state is going the wrong direction. If you look at national databases and kind of the 7-day positivity average, it's not a good signal for the whole state. But so far, Monroe County, and we have tighter restrictions, but you know, just at a basic level where they seem to be working. We hope they will continue to work. We're protecting people. We're protecting commerce. We're protecting the university and the school system and the businesses so that we can try to keep doing what we're doing. So keep wearing your mask, keep distancing, keep, you know, if you feel sick, don't go into work. And it's so far, let's knock on wood and hope the momentum holds.
Mr. Mayor, in that same regard, you've had a policeman that has come down with COVID. Can you talk about that?
Yes, I did. You know, you think about how much our police department interacts with everybody around the community. This is the first police officer that has been diagnosed positively with coronavirus, and they got symptoms on Saturday. They self-isolated immediately. They got tested on Monday, and we announced today that they got a positive result. They did not have much interaction with other officers or the public, which is good. They're not a patrol officer, in other words. So they're gonna. They seem to be feeling okay. That's the 11th one we've had of all of our employees. It's the first one since mid-September. So, you know, the virus is still here. We got to stay steady on it, but we're going to keep after it, and all good wishes to that boy to recover.
But you got some good news, too, because you had a swearing-in ceremony today.
We did. You know, we swore two new police officers in. These were both officers who actually are already certified police officers from different jurisdictions. One actually is a former Bloomington police officer who went up to Indianapolis for a year and then decided he's going to come back. So we welcomed him back, and then another officer transferring from another jurisdiction. So we welcomed them. You know, we continue to do a lot of work. The police department continues to innovate. As you know, my budget has proposed some new social worker positions and neighborhood resource specialists, and we're planning to have a pretty deep and extensive dialogue in the community over the next 6 to 9 months about what's the future of policing look like. It's obviously an issue with a lot of debate and views that have come to the fore this year. But, you know, I'm also really proud of the work that our police officers do every day. We have an outstanding police department. They continue to innovate. We opened the Stride Center this year, which is a really big collaborative to help divert people from either jail or the hospital, which is often the only choice you have at 2 a.m. if you deal with somebody in crisis. And the Stride Center is now a new place to take somebody that avoids jail and avoids the emergency room. So we're going to continue to innovate, and but also adding two officers today will help the police department keep serving us all.
We're speaking with John Hamilton, the mayor of the city of Bloomington. And Mayor, you touched on this, the budget hearings, and one of the issues that seemed to get a lot of attention was police and police funding and what's going on there. And there's more hearings coming. As I understand it, no one can add more, but they can subtract. You have the ability to move things around a little bit. Give us an update on where that all is and your best thoughts on what's going to happen with the whole police issue.
Yeah, and you know, the budget is, as I call it, the most important policy document that we develop in city government every year. It's quite it's quite prescribed by state law how we do that. There's a very formal process, and we have to follow that. It actually starts in April, where we sit down with the council and ask for their ideas, and then works about 6 months long to get to a week from tomorrow. We hope to have the budget passed for 2021. And, you know, the first thing I want to say is the big picture of the budget, $160 million, is I'm really proud of the way the community is coming together to invest in recovery and help make sure we keep the basic services going in this very challenging time. Our 850 employees are just doing great work, picking up trash, patrolling our streets, responding to fires, making sure the water's flowing clean, and, you know, taking care of all of our parks and so many things that happen. There are always issues, and most of them get worked out ahead, and we came down to a couple issues that dominated the council meeting. One was thinking about the police department, and I'll tell you, the council, I think there's a lot of different views on council, just like there are a lot of different views in the community. I proposed what I think is a very responsible investment in the social work side and the neighborhood resource specialist side to kind of help. So much of what the police do is not responding to violent crime and criminal activity. It's really responding to stressors in the community, domestic issues and substance use disorder and mental illness, and it's trying to enhance their capacity to do that well. There was another issue kind of inside baseball, I think, about where a particular position was going to be located in city government, which department. But I think overall, the community should be really proud of the investment that we're going to be making to help people, you know, get jobs, help people get housing, help people save money with energy efficiency investments, move us forward on climate justice and keep the lights on in the city in a very challenging time. So the actual vote, I think, will be October 14th. It should be Wednesday night.
Mayor John Hamilton's our guest this afternoon. He checks in every Tuesday just after 4:05. And Mayor Hamilton, we know moving forward, the budget for next year, okay, but the budget the year after and the year after that, how much went into this planning period for year two and three when the COVID, I don't know, wave washes through? I don't know what we're calling this, but we know it's going to be a little tighter down the road.
It will be. I mean, you know, we have the recent experience of the 2008-09 Great Recession, and that really hit. First of all, it really hit our community in 2010, 11, 12. We didn't, just if you look even in the whole economy, we tend to get hit a little slower and later. And it certainly will hit city government in terms of revenues much more in 2022 and 2023, we think. We're already seeing it in certain places, like the gas tax is way down because people aren't driving as much and buying as much gas, and the price of gas is very low. The parks revenues are way down because of programming activity is much lower. So we see things like that immediately, but the more basic property and income tax stuff is going to hit us. So the 2021 budget is definitely done in light of what we see coming. We're tightening our belt. We hardly added any positions, which is unusual in a growing city like this. We've had to trim back some of the planned expenditures, and we're going to have to watch that very closely. I say that, but at the same time, I'm a strong believer that, you know, government is one of the main things that can help us get through these hard times. So we are investing, for example, in job programs that are helping people get new jobs, whether through an Ivy Tech Life Sciences training program or through a program at the mill that's helping people get quick training on coding so they can jump into a million open coding jobs around the country. We're investing right now in some of the infrastructure programs that not only it's a good time to do infrastructure, it helps create jobs when we do that. Finishing these garages are creating about 500 local jobs, the construction of the two garages, one a replacement, one a new one that you see. The sidewalk work, we're going to be hundreds of thousands of dollars improving sidewalks and upgrading bus transit stops and those kinds of things in this period of time. So it's really kind of a balance of being a counter-cyclical government, a government that helps overcome the recession, at the same time, we certainly have to be aware that tight times may be coming. And I've had made no bones about the fact that I actually think we do need more revenue to do the things that government needs to do and the things our community wants us to do. So we're still looking at that over the next months and short period too.
And speaking of revenue, we know the food and beverage tax. Where are we on that? Does it have a life forward? Should that be put on pause? Has it been paused? My whiteboard is erased somewhere. I'm trying to keep up on everything here, and it's hard to do sometimes.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, the food and beverage tax was put into place late 2017, I think. So we've had we're kind of going into the third full year of its implementation, and it was put in place primarily to fund an expansion of the convention center. The convention center, we hadn't pulled the trigger to sell bonds or do the actual design. We were very close to that, but with COVID and the dramatic upheaval of travel and all that, we all agreed, let's just take a pause, take a breath, come together in the first part of next year, into this year, to explore where we are. In the meantime, that food and beverage tax, which is a 1% local county tax on all prepared food and beverage that you eat and consume at a restaurant or a bar, for example, has been in place. It did come in really handy this year because we lent out over close to $2 million to local businesses from that food and beverage tax, who were really taking it on the chin to help them get through this, and that's been real important. And I think there are really important things that revenue, which has gone down this year but is starting to climb back up, can help us, that sector can help that sector recover, and we'll be talking about that. So the short-term plans are really to hold tight. Let's see where we go with the convention center. Let's see where we go with that whole entertainment sector, food, restaurants and bars and such, because it may be a way to help them recover. We're going to almost certainly lose some restaurants and taverns through this time, and helping those who can make it, it may be a useful tool for that.
We're speaking with the mayor of the city of Bloomington, John Hamilton, who joins us every Tuesday at 4:05. And Mr. Mayor, one of the things that is going on, and I can kind of see it from our fourth floor here on the radio station, just a little
we're on
bit,
the roof, Keith. Yeah, the roof.
A little bit west. Yeah, we're on the roof now because of the weather.
Theater of the mind.
Just west of Walnut Street, and just a little bit south of 7th Street. There's all kinds of concrete trucks and alley work going on all around. College has got work going on.
I blame Adam Wason for all of this.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff happening, and I've watched at least three or four concrete trucks go by here in the last 15 minutes. So talk a little bit about that, and what are you doing with all of this upgrade stuff?
Yeah, 2018 was our bicentennial year as a city, 200 years old, and one thing we did was we tried to celebrate how much we have inherited from the past, what a great city we've inherited, and we tried to think about how do we pass that along to the best of the future, and so we passed a bond of $10 million and dedicated it to invest in a number of things that will be, in a way, kind of a gift to the future. Most of it is focused on trails. Four major trails, and we can talk about those if you want, but part of it, and a big chunk toward trees and doing a bunch of tree planting and taking care of our trees. And then there's a piece of it that looked at alleyways because, they go, they're a great part of the bones of our community, and they're a wonderful kind of public asset. And so we decided to start with some of the downtown blocks and really reanimate those alleyways for pedestrians, for more interesting uses than just keeping trash cans and dumpsters and that kind of thing. So that's what you're seeing, particularly in the block north of the square and the block northeast of the square. We're starting with those to repave them. We'll be lighting. We'll be kind of trying to gussy them up a little bit so that they add to the experience of downtown. And you've probably been in some cities, and we have some alleyways here that are really kind of a neat amenity and way to help accelerate the downtown vibe. So that's what you're seeing, and And in the end, you're correct. Just blame Adam Wayson because he's making it all happen.
That's exactly right.
Public Works Director.
And we'll have him on to get into those uber details, Keith, because there are a ton of projects going on. It hasn't rained in 2 months, it feels like, so everything should be on time and getting paved up and patched up before winter hits. So that's exciting as well. Mayor John Hamilton is our guest this afternoon. He checks in after 4:05 every Tuesday, Keith.
And, Mr. Mayor, one of the things that you get excited about when you talk to me about it before we go on air is the reuse planning that's going on for the hospital site.
A big meeting tonight.
There's a big meeting tonight. So are you excited by what you're hearing and some of the ideas that are coming out of this?
You know, sometimes there are long days or hard days in City Hall, but it is always a good day when you get to think about a major project like the reuse of that hospital site. IU Health obviously is planning to move next year to their new facility on campus in the northeast side of town, and we struck that deal with them about 2 or 3 years back to buy the land. They gave us a very good price, and what that means is we got 24 acres right downtown by Rogers Street, connected to the B line. Basically, you walk west from Kroger and Seminary Square, and you're walking into what is going to be a whole new neighborhood for the city. And we have a wonderful group of professionals as well as a big steering committee that's helping us try to think about this once in a century opportunity to redo a huge area like this and think about what will the future of Bloomington, how do we help it be as good as it can be. So tonight is the third big public meeting out of four. So this is the third of four planned meetings that are leading to the development of a master plan. Now, a master plan is a plan. It's an outline of what we want to see happen there, but it's really important, and it is really exciting. And anybody with interest in that, I encourage them to participate. It's from 6 to 8 tonight. It's an open public meeting. You can go on the city website. I think there's a Bloomington Hospital reuse. If you Google that, you can find the website with lots of this material. And you know, the overall plan is to kind of restitch the grids of streets and to recreate the urban framework, and to think there'll be, I hope in years ahead, there'll be a lot of people living there, there'll be a lot of buzz of activity there, and it's trying to think about how we do that well. So that is a good, that's exciting, and the more input we get, the better.
And Mr. Mayor, just out of curiosity, we know we live in a different time now than we will 5 years from now, but we'll have the resources to make all of that happen. We hope to get back to a normalcy that we saw, a couple years ago. How do we fund a project like this? Is this outside developers that come in? We give them ideas. How much does the city have to front to make this all happen? It's a very fascinating process.
Well, you're right. It's really a big collaboration and mix. The city's role is kind of early. You know, we invested about $6 million of tax increment finance money. So that's money that is incremental tax revenue that's earned by new investments that came into town and in the downtown area and nearby that you can dedicate to reinvest in continuing to support development and expansion of tax increment finance. So $6 million is what we paid to buy the 24 acres, $250,000 an acre. That's a great deal for any land downtown. We almost certainly, as a city, will do some similar kinds of investing to help do the infrastructure, help with the roads, to help with some of that physical infrastructure, the water mains and all that kind of stuff. But then most of, and we may do some things on public amenities. You know, we have building a trades park right across the Second Street, so we that's a public asset that we may enhance. There's Seminary Square and there's the B line. But what we do as a city in a lot of ways is kind of get the field ready. And then most of what will happen there will be private investment, whether it's in multifamily housing, affordable housing. We may partner on affordable housing, maybe office space, other amenities. So the vast majority of the investment will be public, the vast majority of the investment will be private, but the early stages, the public needs to kind of, you know, do our part. If you think about how our city grew, over time, we would build streets and we would build water lines and we would kind of help the private investments come in. we want to plan for it so that it's a sensible and smart growth with all the private investment, and that's what we do early. And then look, it's going to be a 10 or 15 year process to invest and evolve this place. We're just getting started, and if you want to jump in tonight, we'd sure love to have your views.
And you can jump in anytime. This is meeting 3. Meeting 4 is down the road. That can happen as well. So you don't have to be at all of them to be at some of them to be at all of them. It's just a part of a process that goes on. Well, I hope you enjoy this forecast we're laying out for you the rest of the week. 82, 78, 81 to wrap up the work week. Get out there and enjoy it, my friend, and we'll get caught up with you next Tuesday.
Thanks so much. Good to be with you all. Have a good week.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor.
Mayor John Hamilton joins us every Tuesday afternoon after 4:05, and we always sit there and think, what are we going to talk about? What are we going to talk about? We have tons of things to talk about. Why? Things are happening here. Maybe not at the rate of speed we would like, maybe not at the perfectness we dream of, but things are still happening. We do not get stuck in neutral. Things will happen and continue to happen. That's the good news. And we thank the mayor, as we do every Tuesday, for his time.